Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
The Japanese people must take advantage of this tsunami to wash away their selfish greed. I really do think this is divine punishment.
They know about tectonic plates. They know about geography, geology. They know why tsunamis happen, and they don't need some governor to say that it's the will of heaven that this happened. There's a famous saying in Japanese that people turn to the gods in times of trouble, and I think we'll see that here.
That's Tokyo Governor Shintaro Ishihara speaking through an interpreter with his interpretation of what the earthquake and tsunami meant, divine judgment, a response from John Nelson, an expert in religions at the University of San Francisco, Asian religions. Two different takes on what happened there. There is a tendency, regardless of who you are and where you live in the face of these kind of disasters, to turn toward the divine. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, March the 17th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. For the first half hour, we're going to be talking with Dr. Naomichi Misaki, Associate Professor of Systematic Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about the Japanese religious response to the earthquake and tsunami and resulting disasters elsewhere. In the second half of this hour, we'll be talking with Pastor Heath Curtis. St. Patrick will be remembered rightly here on Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon. Dr. Naomichi Misaki is a regular guest. He's Associate Professor of Systematic Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he was born in Kobe, Japan. Dr. Misaki, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be here.
What have you heard from your family, your relations, your friends in Japan?
Well, thank you very much for asking, and I'm overwhelmed by the love and the concern, sympathy shown by so many good American people about Japan and Japanese people. Fortunately, my particular family lives in Kobe or western side of Japan, so there was no particular effect of earthquakes and tsunami, except that my in-laws who are in Yokohama felt a lot of shakes in earthquake, and the house was almost torn down, they felt, but they were okay.
I'm glad to hear that they are okay. Let's talk about the religious response of the Japanese people. First of all, some context. Mm-hmm. What are the primary religions of the Japanese people?
Japanese people, it is a secular society, but at the same time, they say that about 80 million people belong to any numbers of Shinto-related religions, and then another 80 million belong to Buddhism-related religions. On top of it, you have Confucianism and any other kinds of contemporary religions that you can find in this country. And if you add all of them up, it, of course, exceeds the Japanese population, which is about 120 or so, I believe. So it is not an uncommon thing for any particular person to have two or three or even four religions. I have seen one lady who had 13 religions at home. but Buddhism and Shintoism are usually named as two major religions, but I suppose one thing which is not really commented on even by that news media was the Confucianism, which is a silent religion in all of the Oriental countries, including China and Korea.
How would you describe how you see the religious response of the Japanese people in the wake of the earthquake, tsunami, and now a threat of radiation?
I don't know too much of it. I'm so far removed from Japan. I obviously watch the TV and so on, but what I heard, for example, about the words of the governor of Tokyo, maybe that's what the Americans know about, that he said, and he later on negated himself, but he said that it must be a divine punishment. Well, I think that the negative comments about that comment actually shows that so many people are afraid of God or the evil spirits doing something evil towards Japan.
Buddhism, you mentioned a moment ago, it's one of the major religions in Japan, is not, strictly speaking, a theistic religion. It is actually an atheistic religion, recognizes no God per se. What would a Buddhist believe about such occurrences and their greater meaning, if any?
Well, it's an interesting question and tough question, because if you limit yourself to the scene of Japan, the Buddhism that we have in Japan is so far removed from the original Buddhism that is from India. Of course, India doesn't have any powerful Buddhism presence anyway at this point. But the Buddhism and Shintoism that we have now, I think we need to get back to the history of Japan into the late 19th century, when Shogun government ended their government, because that era of 250 years or so, from the beginning of 17th century to the end of the 19th century, Christianity was not only an unwelcome religion, but all the Japanese societies, including Buddhism and Shintoism and Confucianism, they were opposing to Christians. So, for example, take Buddhism as an example. Buddhism, if you follow the original Buddhism, there is no God, and you have to train yourself to get rid of the suffering that, we experience in this world. But when you die, there is, such like Hinduism, there is a reincarnation cycle to have to go on. There are six different worlds, and human being is on top of all those six. So it doesn't make sense that you build a tomb after someone dies. And if you go to India, I think when you die, then you are burnt, and then the dust from your body will be scattered into the river of sacred river of Ganges. And that is the best thing that you can do. But why do we have Buddhism or Buddhism priests who are actually doing all those rituals of funerals and so on? It seems to me that my understanding is that it is because of the anti-Christian movement of the former era. Once you remove Christianity, you have to prove that you are not a Christian, and Buddhism was incorporated into every facet of lives, maybe by the order of the government at that time and so on. And so the Buddhism started to build its own temple and shrine within the household. Shintoism started to imitate, and so you have two or three altars in the household. And so the Buddhist priests, they pray for the deceased. But again, you find a mixture of all three. In the Japanese family altar, usually you have two things. One thing is at the center, which is at the center, is so-called memorial tablet, in which the name of the deceased person is put, and then underneath of it you have some other name. And Buddhism sacred statue is there, but it's in a humble, lower place. To face that memorial tablet actually comes from Confucianism, because Confucianism has a worldview that this life, this world is good. The one who is dead likes to come back to this world. And you have to make sure that you can come back after your death by training your eldest son to pray for the deceased father and so on. So maybe I'm mumbling too much, but the religiosity in Japan is so mixed together, and Buddhism or Shintoism that we hear about from the reports, these are kind of a superficial how it may look like now, but the basis of why they look like that now comes only from the era from the 16th century on, or 17th century, I'm sorry, when the Christianity was officially banned.
Are you saying, we've got about a minute and a half before we take our first break, Dr. Masaki, you saying that, as is also true in India, these religions are as much, if not more, cultural for the Japanese people as they are true kind of abiding religious beliefs? This is what it means to be Japanese. Are you saying that?
Maybe that be close to that, because secularized society, young people especially, they may not believe in any, even older people, there is no personal belief or something like that as Christianity. At the same time, when it comes to the very important phases of life, birth, death, etc., they go to those customs. They have no personal real belief, but if you don't believe it, then you have gone out of the conformity of the society. So it's a cultural pressure.
We're talking with Dr. Naomichi Masaki about Japanese religious response to the earthquake, the tsunami, and the impending disasters that have resulted from it. On this Thursday afternoon, March the 7th, Dr. Masaki is Associate Professor of Systematic Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he was born in Kobe, Japan. When we come back, we have heard initially that much of the religious response by the Japanese people in the face of these disasters has been fatalistic. That is, it happened. Why it happened is irrelevant. It happened to us. It was supposed to happen. And the emphasis is put upon the response to the tragedy or the suffering, whatever it may be. We'll explore that, get a little more detail on the Shinto religion among the Japanese, and then we will talk about if one seriously, as a Christian in Japanese culture, wants to explain or answer questions such as why or what does this mean, what is the proper biblical Christian response to the Japanese people, to these earthquakes and to the tsunami?
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
You'll find study notes highlighting the promises of God and Jesus' death for you in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, the Faith Alive Student Bible. This full-color Bible for students ages 8 through high school is edited by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Faith Alive Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Casting Christ's net on the Internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program? Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. Hit the topic, the Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the four-day, three-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon. In about 10 minutes after we conclude our conversation on Japanese religious response to the earthquake and tsunami with Dr. Naomichi Masaki, Pastor Heath Curtis will join us. We will remember the real Saint Patrick, a missionary and really a tremendous confessor as well. You might be familiar with his Breastplate, this long poem upon which a Christian hymn is based, I Bind Myself This Day. We'll be talking about that hymn, the poem, and its author, St. Patrick, on this 17th day of March with Pastor Heath Curtis. Dr. Masaki, you mentioned before Shinto. It seems to go hand in hand with Buddhism in the Japanese culture. What is Shinto?
Shinto is a myth from before, and Shinto as such, with some dogma in Shinto religion, started to happen only when, interestingly, Japan started to receive influence from Christianity. From 17th century on, the Shogun government allowed two countries to continue a trade with Japan. One was China, the other one was Holland or Netherlands. And from there, I believe that the Reformed Christianity started to come in, and the Shinto religion started to imitate the dogma of the Reformed Church, and that's how it started to happen. But Shinto has a worldview that when you die, your spirit will have to be treated well, and it gets purified through the course of 33 years. And after 33 years, then that spirit becomes completely pure. But in the meantime, the one who survived, they are the ones who are to treat well and to pray for those deceased spirits or deceased father or mother. And those are the basis of so many festivals that are happening in Japan. Shrines and temples are built in honor of those people from time to time, so that the wrath and the bad, evil works and will may not come upon the people, just kind of to box them in. So it's a fear of religion, and Shinto and Buddhism and Confucianism, they are all mixed together at the same time, according to Shintoism itself. There's no sense of building a tomb, because the dead body will be floating around.
Now, you also mentioned Confucianism, which is obviously has its roots in China, and mm-hmm. for a time was the dominant thinking in ancient China.
Yeah.
How does it manifest itself in the religious thinking of the Japanese today?
It is most at home in every household. People may think that the Confucianism is usually a philosophy of good and bad, or some moralistic teaching. But actually, the root of Confucianism is about life and death, and so that the deceased people may come back to this life. Somebody who are still alive need to pray for them. And when they pray, those deceased people may come alive. It's almost like a present practice of some of the Americans and the Europeans speaking to the dead spirit personally. That sort of thing is found in common in Confucianism. Although people in Japan don't think that it is from Confucianism, it is a Buddhism thing, but actually not.
I had heard early on, after the tsunami struck, that someone talking about the religious response, someone said simply, well, the Japanese culture is a fatalistic culture, a deterministic culture, and so the religious response is likely to be, this happened, the reasons are irrelevant, it simply did happen to us, it was meant to happen. What do you make of that assessment?
Maybe it is one-sided, because I know that so many Buddhism-related religions and the new cults, for example, they always say that the bad things happen because of this or because of that. And that reasons cannot be simply of what you are or who what you are doing, but even the direction of the house building being wrong, or height of the building, etc. So there is a cause and effect sort of relation that comes out of Japanese versions of Buddhism and Shintoism.
Let's talk about the opportunity and the proper response, given the Japanese culture and religious beliefs, of Christians in Japan to this disaster.
Well, we are to do what we can, embracing people in love and trying to be as helpful as possible. And that's one of the biggest things that we have to continue to do, just show our love and mercy and so on. But on the other hand, the tsunami scene, for example, the governor of Japan spoke about, you know, divine punishment or something. But it does affect the Christians. And like me, when I saw that tsunami, I thought of the power of the water. And when you have the power of the water without the word of God, there's no baptism, but it is a powerful show of the wrath of God. And so we don't have to say that everyone was receiving that sort of, you know, tragedy, tsunami, and disaster because of particular things that they have done. But we Christians, I thought of my own sinfulness because of that thing. What I'm trying to say is that when we are making connections and contacts and we show love, we have to just be honest what they feel, and we don't have to pretend that well, these things are to be covered up by something else. But deep in our hearts, we have sin and sinfulness. And unless we, again, as Lutherans, as we always do, preach and proclaim law and gospel, there's no salvation. The Buddhism, Shintoism, Confucianism, they all teach that people are by nature good. We cannot accept that because it is simply untrue. So, in a way, every person may be given opportunity or not, but when the opportunities arise, we still simply hold on to law and gospel preaching and teaching.
Finally, then, talk, if you would, about the particular Lutheran insight into the theology of the cross, the place of suffering in the life of the Christian, as a comfort to those who hear the gospel for the first time in Japan in the wake of this disaster, and to the Christians, all small group although they are, in Japan, who have suffered as a result of it, the theology of the cross.
Yes. We have such a tremendous good news that we have our Lord Jesus Christ, who became man, and who experienced and who was with us, and he experienced all kinds of suffering and even death for us. So we have a hope in him, and these tragedies and incidents prompt us to think about life and death, and life after death, etc., and which keeps us closer to the Word of God. So my prayer is that, first of all, let the rest of the world, especially Christians, to know that there is only less than 1% of the population still Christians in Japan. So we continue to pray for them. But as we reach out to them, helping in their need, we also show that our Lord is the gracious Lord, and who doesn't ignore our suffering, but he is in the midst of the suffering, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who alone, as the Lamb of God, went to the cross to answer for all our sins. And that's what it counts forever.
Dr. Naomichi Misaki is Associate Professor of Systematic Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He was born in Kobe, Japan. Dr. Misaki, we continue to pray for your loved ones and relatives there in Japan and all those involved, and thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much for having me today, and I hope also that through your ministry, people may be comforted more and more and back in Japan as well. Thank you.
Folks, you can find out how to help the victims of the Japan earthquake and tsunami through LCMS World Relief and Human Care. You will find a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page, or you can call and earmark a donation, 888-930-4438. That toll-free number again, 888-930-4438. That's the number for LCMS World Relief and Human Care, and earmark a donation for the victims of the Japan earthquake and tsunami. When we come back on this Thursday afternoon, March the 17th, Pastor Heath Curtis is going to join us. We're going to be talking about a man much discussed, although largely fictionally nowadays, St. Patrick. He was a missionary. He was a combater of heresy. He was a former slave. He was, in many ways, a great confessor of the Trinity. We'll be talking about St. Patrick and his confession of the true God in the face of a pagan culture and in the face of Arian heresy, fighting his way not only through the darkness of paganism, but as he would call them, the false laws of the heretics. Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest on the other side of the break. It's Thursday afternoon, March the 17th. We'll talk about St. Patrick. He's more than shamrocks and green beer and being Irish for a day. We'll find out what St. Patrick was and is really all about after this.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
How would you like to receive a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, and for any size gift during the Lenten season, we'll send you a CD with two sermons. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift, before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
And now for the election results.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
When it comes to the 2010 midterm elections, much attention has been given to the Republican capture of the U.S. House and its Senate gains. However, another important consequence of that election is that Republicans won control of 19 state legislatures previously held by Democrats. The Republican Party now fully controls at least half of the legislatures in the country, the highest total for the party since 1928. Republican leaders in many of those states have pledged to champion pro-life measures. Tune in next time to hear what leaders in one state have planned.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. For more about our work to mobilize and advance pro-life women in politics, visit our website at sba-list.org.